goal of introducing themselves to 3 to 5 new people each week. And when I have brought that into middle schools, I have gone at the beginning of the year and I've talked to all the students. I had a principal call me 6 months into the school year, and she said, this has totally changed the way kids are engaging with each other, because they're now going out of their way, not just to introduce themselves to their classmates, but also to the teachers. And I have kids coming up to me. And the whole thing about introducing yourself to 3 to 5 new people each week is it goes beyond the, hi, how are you? Where did you go to elementary school? And it's really about having, you know, a several question or several minute conversation with new people.
While it may seem small or silly, this assignment can help young people form new friendships and create a framework for speaking skills that are critical later in life.
Right now, I'm working with a lot of recent college graduates who are having a really tough time having those informational interviews for jobs, because the idea of meeting someone new and trying to have a conversation with them, even for 15, 20 minutes, seems like a boulder, right? And so we want to lower what I call the activation energy, the amount of energy it takes for you to do something like that. And practice really makes it a lot easier.
There are always going to be external pressures and challenges, but creating a solid framework of skills will serve you better in the long run. Homayoun points to one of her past clients who's now in his early 30s. For a long time, he didn't know exactly where he fit in career-wise.
He always knew he was really interested in college athletics. And then over the course in time, he, you know, went away, he did other things, but he always knew that's what he wanted to do. So he came back and saw me actually in his late 20s. And we talked about it. And then he was getting his MBA and he started applying for these jobs. And he applied to over 150 different jobs. And he ended up getting a job that he loves in data analytics. And that didn't exist when he was in middle school. And so to think about, he's thriving in this job. But then when I went to interview him, he said, you know, Anna, all of these skills that I learned in your office around blocking out time, around compartmentalizing time and focusing on one thing, around planning out my week and creating different work blocks to do different work tasks, around organizing and planning my communication. All of those things I'm using in my job today that I learned earlier, but I just didn't use it. So it's this idea is if we can expand perspective to look that there's not just one pathway, it also decreases the overwhelm that kids are feeling because they feel like it's only one way of success.
To find out more about this topic and our guest, Anna Homayoun, head to viewpointsradio.org. Also, check out her book, Erasing the Finish Line, now available in select stores and online. For more behind the scenes, follow Viewpoints Radio on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. This segment was written and produced by Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Happy 62nd birthday, Granddad.
Thanks, sweetheart.
I got you this.
A mug. Oh, thank you. What does it say? Beware. If you are 60 or older, you may be at increased risk of hospitalization from RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, compared to adults younger than 60.
Not all dangers come with warning labels. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. Learn more at bewareofrsv.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Have you ever noticed that when the afternoon light hits your floors, you can see everything, including dust?
So much dust.
And that poor dust gets kicked up into the air, compromising the quality of air you and your family breathe.
Eesh.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper is the fast and easy way to clean your floors with ultra-thick pads that trap and lock dust before it gets in the air. Just a couple minutes a day.
And dust is gone.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper. Proud partner of the American Lung Association.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. In recent months, there's been increased speculation that China is on the brink of a recession. The country's economy has struggled to bounce back after COVID-19. Consumer spending is down, and several Chinese companies are cutting back on large projects and new hires, leading to higher rates of unemployment for many young people. In June, the youth unemployment rate hovered at around 20%, a number that's four times higher than the average. This slowdown has also had big effects on real estate. Housing prices are dropping, and thousands of new builds are sitting vacant, leading to entire high-rise complexes turning into ghost towns. And now, Country Garden Holdings, China's largest residential developer, is struggling to climb out of billions of dollars of debt and is abandoning half-constructed properties. So why should Americans care about the sluggish Chinese economy? Well, this slowdown may have some benefits. For one, it makes it more likely that America will continue to reign as the world's biggest economy. Before the pandemic, economists predicted that the Chinese economy would overtake the U.S. within the next 10 years. This is unlikely to happen if China stays on this new trajectory. For now, the future is uncertain. The Chinese government recently slashed interest rates to kickstart consumer spending again, but some analysts are worried that this and other small steps may not be enough to dodge a recession. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. As summer 2023 draws to a close, people around the country are falling back into their favorite fall habits. Both college football and NFL are back in full swing. The kids are back to school, and flannels and pumpkin spice are just around the corner. One thing that's not returning as usual, though, is the fall TV schedule. In a typical year, we'd be inundated with TV ads by now. There'd be new seasons of Abbott Elementary and Saturday Night Live with a whole slate of other programming. Instead, this fall is going to consist mostly of unscripted shows. Reality TV and sports programming are carrying more of the load because of the ongoing WGA and SAG-AFTRA strikes. Since May, the Writers Guild has been asking for better residual pay, protections against AI competitors, and more, but it's been easy for audiences not to notice much of a difference in their content consumption. Streamers have been able to keep putting out new shows, like Disney Plus's Star Wars show Ahsoka, or Netflix's Purdue Pharma drama Painkiller. And with big-ticket movies like Barbie and Oppenheimer drawing in huge crowds, the movie and TV pipeline has managed to at least feel relatively healthy. But now that all changes, because the fall TV season is usually the crown jewel of networks and streamers alike, but this year the pickings are very slim. While the mostly canceled fall TV schedule may be general audiences' first taste of the turmoil happening in the production world, the strikes have been taking a huge economic toll on workers across the industry. Deadline reported that as of September 5th, the Entertainment Community Fund has distributed more than $6 million in financial assistance to almost 3,000 film and TV workers impacted by the strikes. At this point, there aren't many hopeful signs that the strikes are coming to a close soon, and the entire future of movies and TV remains in limbo. For audiences, I guess that means we're going to have to buckle in for a lot of reality TV, or use this time to catch up on some old favorites. I'm Evan Rook.
Each week on the Viewpoints Radio podcast, you'll hear from our leading experts on an important topic within education, history, society, psychology, and more.
If you can show a good money personality, one where you've got good values around how you acquire, how you use, and how you manage money, those patterns will be passed along generations.
Viewpoints Radio podcast is produced by our team of award-winning journalists. Subscribe today by searching Viewpoints Radio wherever you listen to podcasts.
My ride smells just right, just right, just right, just right.
Y'all gotta try that for Breeze Car.
Just right, just right, just right, just right. Yeah. La 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 la.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With up to 40 days of consistent sin, all over Breeze Car clips right on your vent.
Yeah,
you know my car's my happy place. Keep that smile on my face.
Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, Wisconsin. The Park Falls Community Broadcasting Corporation. 98Q Country.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camel wear at a price you can afford, huntworthgear.com, and by Ducks Unlimited, a proud sponsor of Outdoors Radio and of duck hunters everywhere, ducks.org. We're also brought to you by the Castle Rock Peatonwell Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, castlerock-peatonwell.com, and by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, woodsideranch.com. I'm Jeff Kelm. Today, we'll catch up with Dan on Lake of the Woods in Canada, hear about the second annual Jordan Buck Day in Burnett County. All that and more coming up here on Outdoors Radio, so don't go anywhere. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. By the way, all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has paid tens of thousands of dollars in rewards to help solve crimes in the Milwaukee area. Michael Hupe is the president of Milwaukee Crime Stoppers. He's offering a $25,000 reward for the next anonymous tip that solves a homicide case. If you got a tip on a unsolved homicide case, visit MilwaukeeCrimeStoppers.com or call 414-224-TIPS. Well, we'll turn our attention to Dan Small on the road this week up at Ballard's Black Island Resort. Dan, how are things going up there?
Well, Jeff, I'm on Lake of the Woods at Ballard's Black Island Resort, as you mentioned. The weather here has been actually pretty good for early fall. We've had a couple of chilly mornings. I don't know if you can hear the wind howling out there right now. We are talking on Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening. I've only been here 3 days, and it seems like a month already. We have been catching walleyes. One of the groups got into crappies today. They brought in a bag of 36 of the biggest crappies I've ever seen, and they caught them all jigging with plastics or minnows. We have caught enough walleyes for shore lunch, and we had fresh walleye for supper tonight. And today, while jigging for walleyes and then trolling, I caught my personal best northern pike hitting a flicker shad, which we knew was not a walleye, but we didn't know what it was until it made a couple of those fast northern style runs right at the boat. And then it came up and we saw it. And obviously it was a big northern. And then after lunch, we were jigging for walleyes in a couple other spots, and I hooked something big. It went down, it stayed down, and it eventually came up after about 10 minutes of fighting it, and we saw it was a good-sized muskie. This was on 8-pound fluorocarbon with a small jig in its mouth. Anyway, about 20 minutes later, we got it in the net. He got it in the boat, and then the muskie went right through the guide's net. So I owe him a net, but it was worth it. It was my personal best muskie caught, believe it or not, on a walleye jig, an 8-pound test, 46-inch muskie. And we're not done. We got one more day of fishing. So I'm having a good time, if you want to sum it up in a few words.
Well, that's awesome, Dan, and congratulations on your personal best fish. Always a big thing. Obviously, that's the brag, right? That's what everybody fishes for.
Well, a lot of people do. I never paid that much attention to it, but all of a sudden, in the same day, in the span of 3 hours, you do your two personal bests. You start paying attention. And one of the guys, Zach, who came here from California, had not done much freshwater fishing, although he fishes saltwater. He got his personal best perch, about a 13, 14 inch jumbo, personal best crappie, first and personal best walleye, and I think a pike. So he's got four. Somebody else had personal best. I can't remember. Gerard Hillenbrand, who's a regular listener from Madison, caught his personal best walleye at 27 inches. So 5 and 2, that's 7 that I'm aware of, personal best today. So life is good up here and the food is great. We are looking forward to one more cool day, and people are already talking about, let's do this again next year. So folks will be hearing about it. I'll probably have more details next week, but they'll hear about it come next spring if we can put together another trip.
Well, memories made, that's the best part of it, with fans, with listeners, and with other friends and family. That's going to be a great trip to talk about, Dan. I know you'll have a full report when you come back, and or at least when we talk to you again. I think you're going to be on the road here for just a little while yet.
I will still be on the road. I'm going from here to Bemidji, Minnesota, where there's the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers Conference and fishing tournament, and another tournament with Al's Goldfish Lures. So, my goodness, I just hope my streak continues. I might have a couple trophies or some swag to bring home. I don't know.
Well, there you go, Dan. Well, thanks, man. You enjoy your time fishing, and we'll check in with you next week.
We'll catch up again. Thanks, Jeff.
Today, we're talking with Huntworth Gear Pro Staffer Joe Hartley. He's going to tell us about how he trains his decoy dogs to hunt coyotes. Burnett County Director of Economic Development Dick Hartman invites listeners to attend next weekend's second annual Jordan Buck Day in Danbury, Wisconsin. And our guest host Rob Dreeslin talks with John Cullicini of Ducks Unlimited about the waterfowl outlook for this fall. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Attention future hunters. Hunting season for turkey, small game, and deer is right around the corner. Don't wait to think about hunter education. The time to enroll is now. The Wisconsin DNR offers several options to choose from, making it easier than ever to enroll. Just browse for upcoming youth or adult hunter education classes at gowild.wi.gov and join the ranks of today's hunter education graduates who are ensuring the safe future of our hunting heritage. Classes fill up quickly, so don't wait. Enroll today. A message from Wisconsin DNR.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Escanaba, and Houghton. We at Remy Battery Company want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the past 90-plus years and your continued support of our local, family-owned company. Stop in and see the expertise of over 9 decades of battery knowledge and customer service. Let us take care of the batteries for all of your needs, from power tools to sump pumps and ATVs to hunting decoys, even down to the smallest hearing aids, big and small. We have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or waters. Don't forget to ask your sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Stock up and save on the toughest filters in the business during Wick's Filters Sale Days at your local Auto Value Parts store. Not only will you get the best deal of the season on our very best filters, but you'll also find deep discounts on oil, fluids, grease, batteries, and more. Upgrade your filters during Wick's Filters Sale Days at your local Auto Value Parts store. See store for official sale dates. Auto Value. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Civic Media is hiring. We have an immediate opening for an administrative assistant manager. The job requires good computer skills, data entry, receptionist duties, manage our shopping show platform, assist company team members with day-to-day station and office operations, bookkeeping and accounting experience, attention to detail, and good communication skills. This position is full-time, Monday through Friday. We will train the successful candidate in all the radio technology and programs needed to do the job, offering a very competitive wage and benefits. If you're interested in joining a progressive company with room to grow and advance, please send your resume to darla.isham@civicmedia.us or drop it off at the radio station, or you can mail it to Civic Media, attention Darla Isham, Box 309, Park Falls, Wisconsin, 54552. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Huntworth Gear is high-tech camel wear at a price you can afford. Find it at Mills Fleet Farm and other stores and online at huntworthgear.com. And joining me now is Joey Hartley. He's originally from Indiana, and he's now living in Kentucky, and he hunts coyotes in several states. He's got a YouTube channel called Mangy Dog TV. He was on the show last year, and he joins us again now. Joey, for listeners who have not seen your videos, tell us how you hunt coyotes, because you use dogs and collars. How do you do it?
Yeah, so it's called a decoy dog in Manly. And the concept of it is, in the summer, the coyotes have pups on the ground with the established den area. Due to that, they're over-territorial, and they view the dogs as a threat to the den site and their pups. So when we call the coyotes in, our dogs are trained to go out and engage the coyotes. From that point, the coyotes' main focus is to run our dogs off, and our dogs are trained to recall back to us. So while the dogs are coming back to us, the coyotes think they're chasing the dogs off. And, you know, if the coyotes want to work the dogs, you can have them work for half an hour just going back and forth. You see an aspect of a coyote that you really can't see any other way than putting a dog in front of them in the summertime.
Yeah, I think your videos are remarkable. You see behavior, the barking, the showing of teeth, and growling, and actually sometimes trying to grab a dog or chase the dog, as you said, and it's really quite fascinating to watch them.
I never thought I would be this obsessed with it, but at this point, I wish summer lasted forever, and if we don't have a dog, hunting's just not the same anymore. We still love it, but it just loses that piece to the puzzle.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your dogs. You have two, and I think their names are Rip and Cash, if those are the same two that you had last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Rip is a little over 2.5 now. He came from Idaho. He's half Idaho Shag, quarter Jag Terrier, and quarter Dobbin Pincher. Cash is a weem. And he's not really traditionally a decoy dog. He's just a dog we had, and we started taking him out hunting with him and started to have pretty neat experiences just from the coyote seeing him. He never would really engage or work a coyote, but this summer, hunting with Rip, he's came out of his shell and has actually put in quite a bit of work about June on with engaging coyotes and getting involved in the chases and stuff. Rip, he's a workhorse. He's bred for it. It's what the dog lives for. And his mentality is something that a lot of people wouldn't understand. I've seen this dog get bit over 7 times in the stand, and he absolutely eats it up, loves it. And he just comes back, turns around, and re-engages the coyotes. He never looks like he's unhappy or scared. He got in a fight with three coyotes a little while back, and the whole time he was coming back to us, he had coyotes jumping on him, and he was just trotting. You know, he wasn't in a hurry. And it's just, it's a special thing to be able to watch a dog do something that it loves to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would imagine your dogs have rabies shots. Is there any other medical concern for your dogs?
Not too much. You know, they're treated for rabies, but realistically, confirmed cases of rabies in the Midwest and coyotes is next to non-existent.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's a legitimate concern. Especially new studies are showing that traditionally you do rabies shots every year, but you have a test done that shows that the rabies vaccine can stay in the system for the life of your dog.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's something to consider. But what we deal with mostly is little nips. You know, a lot of times when the coyotes bite at the dog, it's not a full-fledged bite like what you would think. It's kind of like a front teeth nip, and it's kind of like an abrasion on the skin. And we just make sure we clean it. Cash got bit real solid. Actually got a canine tooth sunk all the way through his back ham.
Oh, boy.
You know, dog's mouth, coyote's mouth, they're disgusting with the pathogens. So that obviously immediately got infected. And we keep antibiotics on hand so we can do a lot of doctoring ourselves if it's needed.
Uh-huh. Okay. What has using decoy dogs taught you about coyotes? What have you learned?
Oh, man, there's so much in their behavior and their demeanor that I didn't pick up on before. And what's wild to me is how different individual coyotes are. I would think that if you called in four coyotes and you were 200 yards away from the pups, all four of those coyotes would be super aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. We had that exact thing happen. And all four of the coyotes ran away from the dogs and never came back.
Huh.
And what I have seen is we had two pregnant females this year that actually squared up and tried to fight the dogs,
uh-huh.
Which pretty much never happens. You know, out of 60 coyotes, only those two actually squared up and tried to fight. And it's just each coyote, their predisposition, kind of like a dog.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a litter of pups, and each pup has a different disposition. Coyotes are the exact same way. You have some that are overly aggressive. You have some that absolutely aren't aggressive at all.
Yeah, well, they can interbreed, so that doesn't surprise me that their behavior can be very similar to that of dogs.
Right.
How do you train a dog to do this?
It's really a lot simpler than what you'd think. I overanalyze a lot, so I went into it a little more than I need to, but the meat and potatoes of it is basic obedience. Teach your dog how to recall, if you're going to do that with a whistle, with a tone from an e-collar. And from that point, you have to show it coyotes. You can't make a dog want to work coyotes. You can't train the drive into them. They either genetically have it or they don't. And you just have to show them a bunch of coyotes and hope they want to do the job.
Okay. Well, and let's talk about the Huntworth gear a little bit. You're a pro staffer. What do you like about the Huntworth gear, and what are you using now?
Well, where we hunt a ton in the summer when it's hot, all their lightweight pants are absolutely dynamite. You know, we're going through hot temperatures, you know, we're going through grass that's got dew on it, crops, going over fences, nothing's getting holes in it. The pants are breathable. They dry out quick. I wore a lot of stuff in my day summertime hunting, and I've never had pants that were as durable and lightweight as these are.
Uh-huh. And they're obviously effective camouflage because the coyotes come close and give you shots, and they never see you or don't see you very often, I would imagine.
Yeah, they definitely work.
Okay. Do you have any advice for someone who might want to try this? I mean, if somebody watches your videos and is already a predator hunter, I mean, he's likely to think, boy, this would be fun. But how do you get started?
The biggest difference is if you want to have a good dog, you have to be willing to let coyotes go. You know, a lot of people don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the that cuts out on that dog's experience. Not every coyote's going to work for dogs. Those coyotes that don't work, you can't shoot, because then the dog starts to expect you to shoot before it has to do anything. It just sees the end state of it having a coyote to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
So for the dog's progression, and for you to end up with a well-rounded dog, you have to be okay with watching coyotes leave.
Uh-huh. And I imagine I've seen some of your videos where Rip grabs and shakes a dead coyote. That's kind of like the beagles I used to have would do with a rabbit. I would imagine that's kind of the payoff. I got this animal, now I'm going to beat it up a little bit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the reward. That's the instinct they're looking for, and that's why if you shoot coyotes too soon, the dog gets fixated on that instinct and decides that it doesn't have to go out, it doesn't have to work, it doesn't have to decoy, because it gets used to you shooting those coyotes so fast.
Uh-huh. Have you ever used night vision or thermal imaging scopes or hunted at night?
I have, not with the dogs, but I know a couple guys that do.
Okay. Daytime hunting is better with the dogs because you can see the action, or what?
I just like daytime hunting because I can film it to the level of quality that I want to produce.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You do produce some really amazing videos. Folks, if you have not heard of this or not seen this, go to Joey's YouTube channel. It's Mangy Dog TV, and you can see exactly what we've been talking about. Well, Joey, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us and for telling us about your hunting. I understand you are guiding deer hunters now already down there in Kentucky, so good luck with that. Yes, as sir. Well,
I appreciate it.
We will talk to you again, I'm sure. Joey Hartley is the host of Mangy Dog TV on YouTube. He's also a pro staffer of Huntworth Gear, and you can find Huntworth Gear online at huntworthgear.com. I'm Dan Small, more Outdoors Radio right after this.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com.
Wowza, zowza, this is a big one. I'm talking about the IFOLA online auction taking place in Saxon, Wisconsin, put on by Heckman Auction and Estate Sales in Phillips, Wisconsin, with online bidding beginning and ending this Sunday, September 17th at 6 p.m. and following. Special preview day Saturday, September 16th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 15821 County Road B in Saxon, Wisconsin. Talk about some great stuff, like item 20, 97 31-foot sedan bridge boat powered by twin marine 454s with air conditioning, kitchenette, microwave, and more. Item 50, a 2012 F-350 crew cab 4x4 6.7 diesel power stroke with compatible Boss plow and under 100,000 miles, leather and virtually rust-free. Wow! Item 100, a Gravity ZT50 turn 24 horsepower mower. What? Even has headphones for peaceful mowing. Plus, a 2018 Polaris General 1000 4-up UTV, along with another 967 lots. All viewable at heckmanauction.com, and be sure to download their free mobile app. Heckman Auctions, heck yeah!
Civic Media is hiring. We have an immediate opening for an administrative assistant manager. The job requires good computer skills, data entry, receptionist duties, manage our shopping show platform, assist company team members with day-to-day station and office operations, bookkeeping and accounting experience, attention to detail, and good communication skills. This position is full-time, Monday through Friday. We will train the successful candidate in all the radio technology and programs needed to do the job, offering a very competitive wage and benefits. If you're interested in joining a progressive company with room to grow and advance, please send your resume to darla.isham@civicmedia.us or drop it off at the radio station, or you can mail it to Civic Media, attention Darla Isham, Box 309, Park Falls, Wisconsin, 54552. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer. Park Falls BP, the one stop for everything you need, from fuel, wine, spirits, beverages, car washes, ice, snacks, and more. Everyday low prices at a great value. Park Falls BP, next to McDonald's. Complete Rain Gutter Services has had their mind in the gutter for over 30 years. Visit CompleteRainGutter.com for a quote.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Mainly cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 63. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 38. Tonight, partly cloudy. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 67. Upper 60s Tuesday, turning much warmer on Wednesday with highs in the upper 70s. Take a look at the extended forecast. 73 Thursday, 71 Friday, and 72 on Saturday. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 63 today. Lows level off around 38 tonight. We should top off around 67 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frobley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 44.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. Our guest host, Rob Drieslin, now talks to John Colisi about this year's waterfowl outlook. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. Now guest host Rob Drieslin talks to John Colisini of Ducks Unlimited about this year's waterfowl outlook.
We are interviewing John Colisi, Director of Science and Planning from Ducks Unlimited, about the latest waterfowl population status report as we get into the heart of waterfowl hunting season. This survey that the feds have been conducting goes back 75, 80 years.
Yeah, that's correct. That's one of the longest running wildlife surveys in the world. It started in 1955. We have a really, really long-term data set. It's interesting to look at trends over time. And I always stress when these numbers come out, you know, people get really excited when we see a population drop. And it's like, well, okay, let's not get too excited. If we see a long-term trend, then there's really cause for concern.
I was working the Minnesota State Fair a couple weeks ago. It was nice. I had some young waterfowlers come up and talk to me about duck hunting, and I argued with them a little bit about some duck numbers. I was a little bothered by how little they knew about conservation history, and I talked about some duck numbers being down, and one guy said, well, how do they know that? And I said, well, they've been doing this survey for, you know, as long as your grandfather has been on the planet, probably longer. This is really solid data, isn't it? Because, you know, every year, if there's a problem with some aspect of it, they adjust it for the next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't get too caught up in the preciseness of the numbers because there is variability around those, right? There's variance around those estimates. And so we're looking at these trends, and that's really the value of this long-term data set. And, you know, we hear people say, oh, those are just paper ducks and stuff like that. It's like, well, you know, these are indexes that we're interested in measuring and monitoring over time. And that's the value of them. It's not the absolute numbers. People kind of get wrapped around the axle over those numbers when they come out every year. And, you know, I'm a waterfowler too. I get excited about them as well. But I also think back to some of my waterfowling days when I was a bit younger, when I was in grad school in Missouri. We were there in the 90s and saw some very, very restricted seasons, you know, like right. 3 and 30. But those were some of the most spectacular waterfowling experiences that I had in my life. So take heart when the numbers drop a little bit. It still can be very good out there.
All right. We're at 32.3 million ducks. That's what the survey says here in the Duck Factory. That's down 7% from 2022, and it's down 9% off the long-term average. I think I would point out we're on a several-year run here where the numbers have kind of been down for consecutive years. What's going on? Certainly, we got a drought cooking, but we've lost a lot of CRP acres. We've lost a lot of upland, associated upland grasslands, and that's got to be contributing to this decline.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head there. Habitat loss is obviously a serious concern through time, upland nesting habitat through CRP, but also this drought that we're in. We saw a little bit of recovery from the serious drought that we've had in the Dakotas in particular, but there's still, you know, that's a small portion of the prairie pottle region. In Canada, conditions were much, much worse. We don't have wet conditions across the entire PPR. You know, that's very difficult to characterize conditions over that vast space. And so we get field reports and look at the drought monitor and things like that, do the best we can with predicting what's going to happen.
You mentioned 3 and 30 back in the 90s. We've been on a roll here, 6 and 60 forever. At what point do you get worried and say, you know what, maybe we should tap the brake here a little bit and go with a 3-30 season, or what would be the interim, a 4-45 season, something like that? Are we getting to the point where you think that might be something to consider?
That's all dictated by the adaptive harvest management models that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the flyways kind of convene on. And we've been using AHM for quite a while. And as that process started, yeah, you're right. We've had a run of liberal seasons because we've had unprecedented wet conditions on the prairie pothole region. And ultimately, you know, we had record numbers of ducks, you know, not that many years ago.
Right.
And now we're seeing a bit of a downturn. Now, that downturn is still not as low as what we experienced in the 90s or the 60s, you know, when it was really dire. We're not approaching that yet. And so it'll take a few more years here of surveys to see where we land. But right now, we're still not even as low as we were in the late 90s, early 2000s. So we're still not too far off the long-term average.
When I was drilling into the data a little bit, I got a little concerned about scaup, lesser scaup. It seemed like for years, the Eastern Dakotas were kind of supporting bluebills. We were seeing declines elsewhere, like you say, in the prairie pothole region, particularly prairie Canada. But things held up pretty good there, and scaup numbers were not in bad shape thanks to the Dakotas. They're still up, I think, a little bit above the long-term average in the Dakotas, but they're way off where they were, you know, 5-6 years ago. They were like 200% above the LTA. Did you flag that concerning to you to see, you know, bluebill numbers coming back down to earth?
There's still like, you know, an estimated 3.5 million scaup between greater and lesser scaup. That's still a lot of scaup. That was a 4% decline from last year overall across the entire traditional survey area. And we're down about 29% from the long-term average. So scaup are still a concern and a species of great interest.
Any bright spots that you would like to highlight? I presume, you know, the pintail thing. That's always good to see. Pintail numbers.
Yeah, seeing an uptick in pintails at 24% was really good. And I think they found the water in the Dakotas. And so they're really good at that. Pintails are early. They arrive. They don't see water. They'll move on. And, you know, it seems like they encountered water in the Dakotas and settled in. And we had a good year there for pintails. But unfortunately, they're still 43% off the long-term average.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, we're still concerned about pintails. And there's other bright spots. You know, we had an uptick in green-winged teal. Everything else, species-wise, was down this year, which isn't surprising with the total duck numbers, right?
Another species that for years it seemed like I heard from the feds, you know, I'd see a lot of individual species down, but the good old mallard was always way up. And I was told from folks at the Fish and Wildlife Service, well, you know, the model's kind of built around mallards. If you got robust mallard populations, so that's the bread and butter bird for so many hunters. But we're seeing mallards decline a lot. Dennis Anderson pointed out in his column last week here in Minnesota at the Minneapolis Star Tribune that for the first time ever, mallards were not the number one bird in hunters' bags in Minnesota last year. It was blue-winged teal. And I think wood ducks may have even come in second to a little bit ahead of mallards. It seems like we're seeing mallard numbers down across the PPR. I'm particularly concerned, and I keep pointing this out to my Michigan Outdoor News editor, did I see mallard numbers down like 75% off the LTA in Michigan? And, you know, what's going on in the eastern half of the United States with mallards?
Yeah, we've seen a long-term decline in Great Lakes mallards and also eastern mallards, which are a bit further east in the northeast states of the U.S. and then also the eastern survey area in Canada. It's of concern. You know, when you get a drop like that, particularly in Michigan, you know, a 41% decline between 2023 and 2022 kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit about what's going on there. Think about the survey. Was the survey timing off? Were there some issues with flying dates and visibility and things like that? And I'm not for certain on any of those things. They fly the survey, use the same methods every year. And so I think they have pretty good confidence in that survey methodology. Have to assume that what we're seeing is somewhat real. You know, there's a lot of hypotheses to what's going on out there. You know, obviously habitat loss. We don't experience in the Great Lakes or in the East these significant wet, dry swings, droughts like we see in the prairie pothole region. It's not as arid a region. And so wetlands tend to be a little bit more stable. And so when you see swings in populations like that, it kind of makes you scratch your head. And Ducks Unlimited is partnering on some research with Wisconsin DNR. Michigan DNR, Illinois DNR, and Michigan State University is leading the project. We're looking at movement ecology. One thing that we've seen over time, just anecdotally from biologists, is we're seeing more and more mallards in urban areas. And those are areas that do not get surveyed through the air. It's just too dangerous to fly those areas. And so they're not recorded on the survey. And so the question arises, well, are mallards moving from rural areas that are surveyed to areas that are unsurveyed, kind of looking at movement ecology there? But we're also interested in looking at reproduction and what's going on there, the proportion of hens that initiate nests. Do they actually hatch a nest? Are they successful? We're also looking into genetics of these birds as well. Ben Lukanen, our PhD student, is drawing blood samples from hens that are marked with radio transmitters, and we're looking at genetics. We're seeing high proportion of game farm genes in the mallards in the Great Lakes, and we also see that in the east. Mallard releases happen from game farms and still are happening to this day. That was kind of an impetus for boosting populations back in the day before we knew anything. And now it's mostly game farms, you know, put and take, tower shoot places, things like that, that are currently doing releases. And so there's a lot of research ongoing on that and whether these birds might be maladapted based on bill morphology and things along those lines. Is their survival different? Is there something different about their reproduction? A lot of these birds in urban environments simply don't move. They don't migrate. They're getting hand-fed. There's open water associated with river systems. You know, in fact, we had a bird, I think, that was marked up in the UP that was associated with a warm water outlet on a paper plant and spent the whole winter up there.
John, thanks a lot. A lot of great information there. We covered a lot of ground. Good luck hunting this fall. If folks want more information, go to ducks.org.
Castle Rock and Peat and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-PeatandWell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Peat and Well Lakes Association.
For that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation, Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV-UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, seven wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com. Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 biggie bundles let you create your own delicious combo. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, and a medium hot coffee. But it's obvious which combo's the best. Sausage biscuit and small seasoned potatoes. Well, maybe it's the fresh cracked egg and cheese biscuit with a medium hot coffee. Or two savory sausage biscuits. Whichever you pick, you can't go wrong. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new 2 for $3 biggie bundles.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 8040 Excelsior Drive, Suite 403, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. You've probably heard of the Jordan buck, the former world record whitetail that was killed in Burnett County back in 1914 by Jim Jordan. You've probably seen replicas of the mound at sports shows or the original on display at Bass Pro Shops, Wonders of Wildlife Museum in Springfield, Missouri. Well, if you were listening last year at about this time, you know that the Jordan buck has come home to Danbury, Wisconsin. You may have read about it in Outdoor News, and joining us now to talk about the Jordan buck and what's planned for Danbury coming up on September 23rd is Dick Hartman. He is the Director of Economic Development for Burnett County, and he was on the show last year at this time. Well, Dick, welcome back to Outdoors Radio, and thanks for joining us again.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Dan. It's a pleasure.
Well, the Jordan buck has returned to Danbury, or actually a replica, right? It's a giant fiberglass deer, I understand.
Yep, it's approximately 21 feet long, 8.5 feet wide, and 12 feet high. And it's basically mounted on the ground right next to the Dandy Dancer Trail, which is really close to the spot where the actual buck was shot.
Uh-huh. This is now a monument, really, to that deer and to that story. And you've got an event coming up on the 23rd of this month, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But for people who don't recall the story or never heard of Jim Jordan, can you kind of summarize what happened more than 100 years ago, November of 1914?
Yeah, it was November 20th, 1914. I guess it had just snowed about 6 inches that morning, and Jim Jordan and his partner began walking down a railroad track, which is now the Gandy Dancer Trail. They were walking down the trail side through the woods. They noticed a large deer print. You know, they figured it was a big buck. Jim Jordan lent his knife to his partner. They split up and kind of walked on both sides. When Jim walked down the tracks, the train was coming by and the whistle blew and this huge buck jumped up and he shot. He was shooting a 25-20 caliber, which is a pretty small Winchester. It was 1894 Winchester 25-20. Bullets probably about half the size of a 30-30 cartridge. And he only had like 5 shots. So he shot once, twice, and the deer disappeared. And then went down, shot a couple more times. And with his last bullet, he saw the deer stand up again. He shot and it dropped. So he went over to the deer, you know, which was still kind of F there. He didn't have any other shells to dispatch, and he's looking for his knife, but he'd given it to his partner, so he started walking back to get the knife from his partner. And when they both got back to the where he had dispatched the deer was gone. And then I could see was snow kicked up around the ground where he had shot it, and it had fallen into the river.
Huh.
So they followed the river down, and there the buck was, just tangled in some brush, and that's when they got it, pulled it out. And there's a whole lot more to that story. Jim Jordan gave the deer to a local taxidermist, and then kind of forgot about it, and the taxidermist went out of business, and the horns ended up getting lost for a number of years. And they were found in a shop in the other side of the river.
Yeah, they were found in Minnesota, and he actually got his hands on them again, but I don't think it was declared a world record before he died, right? All that kind of happened at the same time?
No, that all kind of happened after the fact. There's a booklet that we've printed that can give you the entire story from start to finish. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
In fact, it was written for the centennial back in 2014. Yeah, I read about it in Boys Life when I was 8 years old, and I'm now 74, so it's been a lot of history there.
Yeah, and it had a lot of impact on a lot of hunters because, I mean, the world record to some hunters is the Holy Grail. You know, if I can shoot a buck big enough to beat the Jordan buck, it'll be a world record. And it stood for many, many years, and it's still one of the top-ranked whitetails of all time. Aside from that, why is it so important to Danbury?
Well, it's a real tradition. Deer hunting is kind of like a religion up in this part of the state. It's actually considered a holiday, and people look forward to it, and it brings a lot of people and a lot of money into the state of Wisconsin. And we just felt that this was something that could be presented by Burnett County in a very positive way. It kind of shows the heritage and conservation that's been happening in the county forever, basically, you know, since hunting started here, I guess, rifle hunting, that is. Yeah, it's pretty important. And to have a deer this size, typical buck that, you know, the record stood for that period of time is pretty incredible. So kind of a claim to fame, not only to Burnett County, but also to the unincorporated village of Danbury.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have a celebration planned for the 23rd. That's also National Hunting and Fishing Day. And there are a lot of events going around the state and the country. So what have you got planned?
Well, the day starts off at 10 o'clock with opening ceremony with some dignitaries for speakers. We've got, you know, the local sheriff and Chuck Anderson, who heads up the Burnett County Tourism Coalition and also is part of the County Tavern League. And then we have Don Taylor, who is the county board chair, who is an avid hunter and fisherman. He's going to say a few words. After that, there's a craft fair food vendor. There's like 40 different vendors for a variety of crafts and different food sales. There'll be face painting and goods and more sold, you know. Then at noon, there's a parade, a Jordan Buck parade. Lineup starts at 11 and goes until it's finished. After that, we've got other events planned. You know, the Siren Rotary Club has bingo. There's horse-drawn carriages on the Gandy Dancer Trail that starts.
Adventure begins at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. 16 stages filled with sword fighting, fire breathing, music, magic, juggling, and more. Delicious food and drink fit for royalty. Live armored jousting, and our marketplace is a shopper's dream. 7 weekends from August 19th through October 1st. Get your discount tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Park and ride recommended or prepaid parking passes required. Huzzah! More information to plan your adventure at renaissancefest.com.
If you're a motorist of the four-wheel variety, please watch out for those of us in Wisconsin who do their traveling on two wheels. Adjust your mirrors to reduce your blind spots. Allow motorcyclists a full lane width. Use your turn signal when merging or changing lanes. And allow more following distance between you and the motorcycle. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
Wowza zowza, this is a big one. I'm talking about the IFOLA online auction taking place in Saxon, Wisconsin, put on by Heckman Auction and Estate Sales in Phillips, Wisconsin, with online bidding beginning and ending this Sunday, September 17th at 6 p.m. and following. Special preview day Saturday, September 16th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 15821 County Road B in Saxon, Wisconsin. Talk about some great stuff, like item 20, 97 31-foot sedan bridge boat powered by twin marine 454s with air conditioning, kitchenette, microwave, and more. Item 50, a 2012 F-350 crew cab 4x4 6.7 diesel power stroke with compatible Boss plow and under 100,000 miles, leather, and virtually